concern seems to be fluffing the merchants and pandering to the police department. They really don't. And that, I hope, is what we as a community will come to understand, whether this means boycotting stores who are the lead people in this, whether this means massive musical benefits and legal lawsuits, whether this means articles in the paper, whether it means any or all of these things. We have to do something, because we're faced with an intolerable situation here. And I know that it's poo-pooed by people like Councilmember Kennedy, who declined to appear on shows like this. But nonetheless, it's real. So, I actually do have the definition of a display device that's been changed. And the definition of a display device: chair, box, and container are no longer considered part of a display device. But the problem is it still criminalizes people who are doing any kind of political tabling. If I have a can in front of me that says donations, and I'm inside the 10-foot zone, which I will be in most places on most sidewalks in most business districts in town, like, for example, up at Shopper's Corner, that's illegal for me to solicit. I can't have a second person sitting at the table. That would be illegal. I can't do it after dark. I can't sit there and do it. Actually, I can do it if I'm not seated on public property. So if I bring my own chair, I guess I can do it if I'm alone. But I can't do it because there's no space. You can't be 14 feet from Shopper's Corner on the public sidewalk. Can't do it. So this is a criminalization of the public sidewalks. This is a severe move against civil liberties locally. It began badly in 1994. It got worse, much worse, in the summer of 2002. And the city council is not making it any better. We are the ones who have to make it better. Call city council at 420-5017 and tell them no, no, no. A couple things are happening in other cities. Key West, the Key West City Commission extended the prohibition on panhandling and begging for money on city streets beyond Mallory Square and the southernmost point at Tuesday night's city commission meeting, according to a January 8th story in the Key West Citizen. Commissioner Tim Gosterhout introduced an ordinance that pushed the no panhandling zone to include Simonton, Duval, and Whitehead streets from Front Street and Angela Street. The commission passed a first reading of the ordinance that requires a second reading and passage to become law, and the commission will vote again on it on January 22nd. Tourists are complaining about people who want to shake down tourists, said Oosterhout. Are they talking about these expensive shops that want to shake down tourists? No, I don't think so. Are they talking about people with guns who are trying to shake down tourists? No. Are they talking about people who are not letting tourists fly on airlines because they're members of the Green Party or some other group? No, I don't think so. No, they're talking about people with signs on the street who are asking for money because they're poor. Shake down tourists? I think not. It has gotten crazy. People passed out on Duval Street. Does that have anything to do with shaking down a tourist? No, that has to do with a person being drunk in public or somehow disabled in some way. It is disgusting, and this is a step in the right direction. This, again, is the Oosterhout talking. But Mayor Weekly said the ordinance was too broad in scope, that if you squeeze a balloon in one spot, it will just go somewhere else. He worried the panhandlers will move to the Bight and other areas around Key West. It would have been better to table and discuss this at the upcoming summit, he said. Now we have an ordinance. These are very sensitive issues. We must remember our city motto of the one human family and find a way to be true to that. I don't think beating up on the downtrodden is the right way to go. Not one council member, including Crone and Sugar at the last council, in any way linked these laws to their true target, homeless and poor people. And Santa Cruz claims to be more liberal than Key West, Florida? I think not. I think not. Not so. In Key West, Florida, panhandling is forbidden on certain streets. In Santa Cruz, it is forbidden on every street within 14 feet of a building. That's not just business districts. That's every street in town. If you do it, you heard earlier the interview of the man who asked for 21 cents from a friend and got a panhandling ticket for being within 3 feet of his friend. I know that was the law. I knew that was the law in 1994, the Rodkin-Kennedy law, but I wasn't aware that it was being enforced. The police are out there enforcing, folks. It is really hard to believe. Continuing in this story from Key West, and again, the mayor is making some reasonable statements. He wants to have meetings first before the law. He talks about the need to look at the realities, and he takes a compassionate perspective. We've all said the same thing to Riley and Porter, and they rush through the laws anyway. Their main priority is apparently, as I say, fluffing the merchants here. Commissioner Carmen Turner said there are greater issues than just passing an ordinance on panhandling. The city needs a plan. The time to do that in a sensible way is to deal with panhandling and solicitation at the city summit on the homeless that is scheduled for February 12, 2003. Well, at least they're having a summit on the homeless. All we have is these sterile, brief, here's a five-year plan for the homeless, one-hour council sessions that don't involve any homeless people, as they did last week at city council. George Maurer brought out some other laws, and I'm asking if it is constitutional, said Commissioner Morelli McCoy. The ordinance was passed by a 4-3 vote. Again, we're talking about Key West, with Mayor Weekly and Commissioners McCoy and Turner voting no. I am grateful the commission did the right thing, said Osterhout. We stood up for the taxpayer, business owners, and homeowners in Old Town. He went on to explain that he was not being cruel in supporting this ordinance, but he believed the panhandlers are winos and dysfunctional people. These Jews are subhuman, folks. We don't have to worry about them, do we? Annie Dillard, noted author and Key West resident, spoke with passion that these were human beings that they were being discussed. The human beings that were being discussed. This is not liberty and justice for all. This is liberty and justice for the tourists, said Bob Richardson, resident, and Henry David Thoreau, historian. Note also that at least this gets into the Key West newspapers. Dan White doesn't put such things into the Santa Cruz Sentinel. We have yet to see any stats that show you that every night there's space for 160 people out of 1,000 to 2,000 homeless people outside. The rest face $54 tickets. Dan White doesn't want to seem to report that fact, even though he's had two stories on homelessness in the last 2 weeks. That stat has never appeared in any of his stories, and probably never will. Let's listen to a little music, and then stay tuned, because coming soon is Utah Phillips and John Malkin, who should be showing up if they can make it to the studio. And we might even have a word from, I guess not, the team that we'll be setting up shortly, though. So do stay tuned. I'm hoping that Utah will say a kind word for the street performers and maybe a few wise words for the city council. And that might happen, and we'll see if that happens. Let's, in the meantime, hear from one of those renegade street performers. You know him. You've come to love him. You can actually find him down on Pacific Avenue, probably performing illegally. Feel free. Thank you. spare change, of which you can give some to feel free, perhaps in violation of the law, at least on his side. He's playing, he's out there soliciting illegally on the sidewalks. It is true, by the way, I've heard people been saying, well, you know, the police are laying off the street performers the last couple of weeks. They didn't arrest them on New Year's Eve. Hey, think of that. And I agree, there have been less reports, although I guess I've heard, last report I heard was of this arrest of Steve Elliott, or this ticket of Steve Elliott for spare changing, and he's pretty careful to do it all completely legally, but he got a ticket anyway, apparently, and I got to get more details on that from him. During periods where there's a city council decision to be made, the police, I think, may tactically back off. In fact, sometimes they tactically back off real far in order to prompt complaints from merchants and residents that new, more restrictive laws have to be passed because there's anarchy on the streets and no laws are being enforced. That happened, for example, with the safe sleeping zones in the summer of 2000 when residents from the Harvey West were saying the police aren't, you know, are letting all these people come and sleep in their vehicles, when in fact it was still illegal to sleep in your vehicle. And if the police wanted, they could have told people to move along, but they didn't. You know, and instead they said, oh, blame the city council, we can't enforce that law. And they also said, we can't enforce laws against drug use either. We can't enforce any laws because the city council won't let us. And Merchant said that repeatedly at the public comment period of the first meeting in June of the Santa Cruz City Council in the summer of 2000. And that helped to frighten Catherine Byers, the council member, into voting against the safe sleeping zones and then helping to kill them. And then the three members, Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, let that be buried, even though they got council members elected that fall that would have supported safe sleeping zones or some kind of changes in the sleeping ban that would allow people somewhere legally to sleep at night, which they do not have now. And there is no indication in the near future of them ever having such a thing, given the current makeup of the city council. I want to remind you that the Wired Wash Cafe will be the site at 2 o'clock of a street performers and sympathizers meeting to figure out how to best address the issues of Ashcroft in Santa Cruz, wearing a smiley face on the city council in the form of Mayor Emily Riley, and of course the jovial, nonviolent, but not against the street performers, Scott Kennedy. I got to remind you that when you have laws that criminalize people in public spaces and deny their civil rights, you're not being nonviolent. You're engaging a conspiracy to deprive them of their civil rights. And it's, you know, it's all very well to say, oh, we're just letting things sort themselves out. We're just responding, the city council is just responding to a merchant wave of concern. That's what Scott Kennedy has said on a number of occasions. You don't respond to a wave of concern with unconstitutional legislation and with laws that criminalize people, even if you can get it passed a constitution-blind Supreme Court. Not if you're on the Santa Cruz City Council and were elected by a progressive constituency. But, of course, you do in Santa Cruz, and that's why we need to evolve alternative institutions that will stop that from happening. And hopefully, we're starting to take the first steps to that today at the Santa Cruz, at the Wired Wash Cafe, which is at 146 Laurel Street, right next to the Saturn, and you're invited to come on down and check that out. What else we got here? There's some other shows on Free Radio that also talk about local issues, and I'm sure I'm not going to be exhaustive because I don't know them all, but I've written down a few, and I encourage you to tune in on them. Monday, 7:30 to 9, Resist Locally with Phil Free, that's in the evening. Tuesday, 2 to 3, Pop Defect Radio with Skidmark Bob. 3 to 5, Media Watch with Ann Simonton. 6:30, The Hobo Music Show, which has conversation as well as music by a genuine hobo, Uncle Lee. Then Wednesday at 2 p.m., I don't know if Vinny's still doing Rockin' the Boat. That's the V-Man. He may have given up that show, but it was previously mentioned 2 to 5 p.m. Then 6:35 to 8:30 on Wednesday evening, John Malkin, The Great Leap Forward. He often ranges a little too far forward for my taste, but today, for example, he's going to be interviewing, if they ever get here, Utah Phillips, and he also does local subjects as well on occasion, although I guess it's pretty occasionally. Thursday is my show, 6 to 8 in the evenings. That's 6 to 8 p.m., Bathrob Spears Broadsides. That's a show you've just listened to. Saturday, 3 to 6, is Mother's Milk with Earth Mommer. The Steve Argue show on from 8 to 10 in the morning is apparently gone. Steve is working on a book, so he's not going to be doing his show on Saturday mornings. That's a loss. Sunday, right after my show, actually an hour and a half after my show, is the infamous Cut Your Hair and Get a Fucking Job with Old Lady Scar Arms and Baby Greaser James. I don't know if Baby Greaser is still with the show, but Old Lady Scar Arms comes in here kicking ass, I'll tell you. Then from 6 to 8, Fuck Safe, Shoot Clean, the 440 show, which I found very interesting. It's, I guess it's folks from the needle distribution group, and I'm impressed with what they try to do to deal with what the authorities kind of don't want to deal with in terms of this drug war bullshit that it's been eclipsed by the war against terror, but it's all part of the same nonsensical police solutions to problems that we need to find other solutions to. Since we're waiting, here's another story. Panhandling restricted on Hill Pearl Street Mall. This is in Boulder, Colorado. City passes begging rules. The panhandlers asking for handouts on the Pearl Street Mall were conspicuously absent Wednesday, hours after Boulder set new begging restrictions in the city. The ordinances approved early Wednesday morning by the city council create zones free of spoken begging around buildings. Again, the Santa Cruz has gone further. It's not just spoken begging, but silent begging, which is illegal in Santa Cruz. See, we are all at the forefront of these things. Around buildings, restaurants, and vending carts on the Pearl Street Mall and in the University Hill Business District. Again, Santa Cruz bans it everywhere in town near a building. The council also banned loitering on medians citywide. Now, I think it's still technically legal to loiter on a median, where loitering means stand with a sign saying, you know, want money for food. People used to sell newspapers there, and they still do in San Francisco. But I think police here go after people occasionally anyway. They go after people for the ordinance of their choice. They don't pick and choose, but they don't feel themselves restricted to the letter of the law. That's what I found about our creative Santa Cruz police and the sheriff's deputies. Both measures were passed by one-vote margins around 12:45 a.m. in Boulder, Colorado. It will take effect next month. They are intended to bring more civility to parts of our city. It sounds like Fitzmaurice's language, where aggressive panhandling has generated complaints for years, and to make road medians safer after years in which the number of panhandlers on them has mushroomed. I'll bet you my bottom dollar that they have no stats showing increased accidents around medians, just as they have no stats about street performers causing any kind of either pedestrian hazard or even problems with merchants. Looks like we got the arrival of some guests coming up shortly. I hear the sound of voices on the stairs. I'll have to enter my magisterial role. I'm sorry, you're both under arrest. I'm with the FCC. You can take this man into custody. Yeah, it's Utah Phillips and the infamous John Malkin here. And I'm gonna turn over the mic here because we are at 1:30, and I'm sure we've got a great show coming up, so please stay tuned. Maybe you'll hear some music. Who knows? I don't see an instrument in evidence, but you never can tell what's going to happen with this guy. Good to see you again, Utah. I saw you again, I guess, 25 years ago. It was a long time. We rode from Watsonville to Santa Cruz. I think you didn't. You and I were not on the best of terms at that time, but it's good to see you. I don't even remember. But hey, if you think I'm bad, where do you talk to John? So I'm gonna leave you here with John, and I want again invite folks to come to the street performers meeting at Wired Wash Cafe, Utah. You're invited, and you are as well.
When will that take place?
It starts at 2, and it'll be going on for the next hour and a half.
Today.
So when the show's over, you're welcome to come to it.
That's a good idea. Instead of going down to the boardwalk, I like to walk it in the winter because I can be alone. You know, it's beautiful. But there is a meeting of the street singers, street performers, at 2. I can come there for part of that. I have to catch a transportation back home at 4. So I'll come over to that. Is it far away from here?
About 3 or 4 blocks.
Oh, okay, fine. I want to come over for that. I remember when Tom Noddy organized the first Street Singers Guild here a long time ago, and it's really necessary for street performers to organize themselves because, you know, every decision you don't make yourself, there's somebody else there to make it for you. So we can really get along with these merchants and with the civil administration if it becomes organized.
I think you're right, and I think you can give some great historical perspective to that. I'm going to, John, you want to just take over the mic? I'll babble for a little while you set up here. Bathroom Spears Broadsides will be returning on Thursday from 6 to 8. And if you want to come to a HUF meeting, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, it's Wednesday, 8:30 in the morning at Baker's Square Restaurant. And, hey, we might even, you know, I might even do some singing at that meeting. You never can tell. I mean, it's, let me get musical on you. Tomorrow, CPRB meets at 5:30, and that's downtown. And John Malkin will probably tell you all about the CPRB. He was one of the early members kicked off that board or pressured off the board by, maybe he just gave up and resigned on that one, John, I don't know. And City Council, of course, 7 o'clock on Tuesday. Thanks for being with me for this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. And John and Utah and, is it Mike? Mark. Thanks for coming on the air.
Thanks, Robert. Stay tuned shortly for a live interview with Utah Phillips. My name is John Malkin, and you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
I learned in Korea that I would never again in my life abdicate to somebody else my right and my ability to decide who the enemy is.
Please forgive me.
Back from Korea. I was so mad at what I'd seen and done, I wasn't sure I could ever live in the country again. I got on the freight trains up in Everett, north of Seattle, and kind of cruised the country for 2 years, making up songs, but I was drunk most of the time and forgot most of those. I'd heard that there was a house in Salt Lake City by the Roper Yards of the Denver Rio Grande and Western where there was a clothing barrel and free food. So I got off the train there. I was headed for Salt Lake anyway. I found that house, but right what they said it was. Most of all, I found this wiry old man, 69 years old, tougher nails, heart of gold, fellow by the name of Ammon Hennessy. Anybody know that name, Ammon Hennessy? One of Dorothy Day's people, the Catholic workers, during the 30s, they started houses of hospitality all over the country. There are about 80 of them now. Ammon Hennessy was one of those. He'd come west to start this house I found called the Joe Hill House of Hospitality. Ammon Hennessy was a Catholic anarchist, pacifist, draft dodger in two world wars, tax accuser, vegetarian, one-man revolution in America. I think that about covers it. It was pure hell. First thing he did was he said, after he got to know me, he said, you know you love the country, that you love it. You come in and out of town on these trains singing songs about different places and beautiful people. You know you love the country, you just can't stand the government, get it straight. He quoted Mark Twain to me, loyalty to the country always, loyalty to the government when it deserves it. Get it straight. It was an essential distinction I had been neglecting. And then he had to reach out and grapple with the violence, but he did that with all the people around him. Second World War vets, you know, on medical disabilities and all drunk up. The house was filled with violence, which Ammon, as a pacifist, dealt with every moment, every day of his life. He said, you've got to be a pacifist. I said, why? He said, it'll save your life. And my behavior was very violent then. I said, what is it? He said, well, I can't give you a book by Gandhi. You wouldn't understand it. I can't give you a list of rules that if you sign it, you're a pacifist. He said, you look at it like booze. You know, alcoholism will kill somebody. Until they finally get the courage to sit in a circle of people like that, put their hand up in the air and say, hi, my name's Utah, I'm an alcoholic. And then you can begin to deal with the behavior, see? You can and have the people define it for you whose lives are destroyed. He said, it's the same with violence, you know. An alcoholic, they can be dry for 20 years. They're never going to sit in that circle and put their hand up and say, well, I'm not an alcoholic anymore. No, they're still going to put their hand up and say, hi, my name's Utah, I'm an alcoholic. It's the same with violence. You got to be able to put your hand in the air and acknowledge your capacity for violence and then deal with the behavior and have the people whose lives you're best with define that behavior for you, you see. And it's not going to go away. You're going to be dealing with it every moment and every situation for the rest of your life. I said, okay, I'll try that. And Ammon said, it's not enough. I said, oh. He said, you were born a white man in mid-20th century industrial America. You came into the world armed to the teeth with an arsenal of weapons. The weapons of privilege, racial privilege, sexual privilege, economic privilege. You want to be a pacifist, it's not just giving up guns and knives and clubs and fists and angry words, but giving up the weapons of privilege and going into the world completely disarmed. Try that. That old man has been gone now 20 years, and I'm still at it. But I figure if there's a worthwhile struggle in my own life, that's probably the one. Think about it. I'd always wanted to write a song for that old man. He never wanted one about him that way, but something mulched up out of his thought, his anarchist thought. Anarchist in the best sense of the word. Oh, so many times he stood up in front of federal district judge Ritter, that old fart, and he'd be picked up for picketing illegally, and he never pled innocent or guilty. He pled anarchy.
Listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. My name is John Malkin, and the name of this program is The Great Leap Forward. This program is devoted to exploring nonviolence and anarchism, social change, and spiritual growth. You can hear The Great Leap Forward Wednesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. here at 96.3 FM. We're also on the internet at www.microradio.net/FRSC. I have a very, very special guest here today, Utah Phillips. Very happy to have him here in the studio live today, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz, Utah. Boy, I'm not hearing you on